Blog Talk Radio.
Not one to have a loss for words. What I have to say, you've already heard. But I don't think it will hurt to hear it again. Years have passed and your kiss has faded. Even better now, soothing my heart still. How my passion feels just knowing that you're on your way home again. Nothing's perfect, wish to have our day. But that doesn't mean our love is strange. If anything, it takes me right back to you. I'm now wishes answered from the very start. Before hello, you have left your mark. One so deep I could not remove, even if I wanted to.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Yaina. How is everybody doing today? It is good to be here. This is our first day of the week. I'm excited about today. I want to make an announcement. I'll probably be making it throughout the rest of the day. If you have registered for our 2019 Day of Repentance, please check your email. We have sent everyone who registered an email. We need information so that we know how to book the rooms for the hotel and any other accommodations that we may be needing for the event. So please check your email. If you do not receive the email and you have registered from us, please send an email to the Yehuda Project so that we can send you the information. Our email address is theyehudaproject@gmail.com. We are trying to secure hotel accommodations at a rate that everyone can afford. It is a 5-star hotel. It is very, very nice. We want to have somewhere very nice if we are going to invite Congress to join us. So we have to be able to do that. We need you to check your email so that we make sure that we have everyone covered. If you did not get an email, email us at the Yehuda Project so we can make sure that we send you the appropriate information. All right. So shalom, shalom, everyone. How is everyone doing today? You know, I just want to thank Sister Keturah because when I went on the website and I checked about the flooding in Nebraska and all, it's just unbelievable. That is unbelievable that is actually happening. I have never seen anything like that. Now, I know that they were flooding in Texas and all of that, but they said they have lost over 1 million cows. 1 million cows. This one man said he had 700 pigs on his pig farm, and when they came back after the flood, he had 14. All those animals were dead. They had drowned to death, just washed up and drowned to death. It is unbelievable that is there, and that's like that. I mean, you know, you know what y'all said, and the word doesn't come back void, but it's a lot of things that's happened. I think the dam broke and something else broke through. I was actually watching a YouTube video where these people were standing in the hospital, and the water came through the hospital window and just pushed. It just was amazing. I've never seen anything like it. I haven't. Whole houses is covered up. All you see is the roof. Whole cars. Barns is covered all the way to the top where the roof is the only thing sticking out. It is really a disaster. And you know that from that's going to spawn a food shortage because we're not going to have as much as we have with those farms distributing that stuff all over the United States. The wheat, all of it is gone, just like she said. It is unbelievable the things that they have done. I wanted to play some of the clips for you guys, especially some people who hadn't seen it. I've never seen anything like it. The man said, well, why come it's not mainstream news? He said, because we like to keep our information within ourselves because we're managing our own situation, you know, and we're trying to do the best we can. We've applied for all of the assistance that we could possibly apply for. He said, but we just want to make sure that we are resilient people and we manage ourselves how to do, you know, how to make this happen and what to do. So we haven't really put it on the mainstream news. I'm like, it needs to be because this is some serious stuff right here. I've never seen anything. And all of the news channels have covered it. And when I was telling my mom, she was like, well, I have never seen it. I said, I don't know why, because it's definitely there. Hold on, let me on this so we can see this. Listen to this. Hold on, just one moment. Here we go.
I take hold on. Here we go. Former Navy SEAL platoon commander, okay. And this is the Patriot.
Myself to donate, but what I do have is a platform and an amazing following and an amazing family. Guys, this is the town of Fremont, about an hour away from my hometown, obviously.
This is not a good situation to be in. Down there, you've got a car pretty much completely submerged in water, so that's probably 6 foot of water down there. These guys are just walking through. They're trying to get to somebody they know down that way. But just a lot of stuff got damaged out here. I mean, this is the whole town of Fremont. The whole town is underwater. I don't know if you guys can hear that in the background with some of those, sounds like drag cars, but those are airboats. You got a bunch of guys that are from the airboat community on the rivers. I think you hear that. There's a guys running airboats to go try to get people out of their houses and just get them on higher ground.
They've
been cruised.
Because unlike some brands that may contain all of this, Lola's products are made with 100% organic cotton.
Sorry about that. Here we go.
To Aspen Dental, they gave me a free exam.
I'm having a rough time here. I'm trying to get up one that has enough information where we'll be able to see it because there's so much stuff out here and different people that are reporting on it. I want to get one that's the news, that's actually on the news and not somebody. Here we go.
Purdue told Fox News Business up to 1 million calves have been killed in Iowa and Nebraska alone after historic flooding devastated the Midwest. According to officials, the Missouri River is expected to crest today, swelling the river's waters to its third highest level in history. The damage is particularly devastating for farmers whose farm and ranch losses are expected to be in the billions.
Roger Johnson is the president of the National Farmers Union, and he joins us now from Washington. Sir, thanks so much for being with us.
You're very welcome. Good to be with you.
So the flooding, sir, has been devastating to many communities in the Midwest. We've been reporting all week long, especially farmers. Tell us about the impact this has had, and what are you hearing from farmers on the ground?
Yeah. Well, the impact is really pretty dramatic. It's important for folks to understand that agriculture has been under a lot of stress even before this weather pattern set in. Net farm income is about half of what it was 5 years ago. The trade deals that are coming out of this administration, the tariffs, all that is depressing prices, making things tougher. And then you had this sort of bomb cyclone that hit, which caught a lot of folks sort of unawares, killed a lot of animals. And then, of course, that's followed by all this thawing and flooding. You know, I've been talking to members all over the Midwestern part of the country in the last week or so, and it's just dramatic. I mean, some folks are clearly going to lose their business. They've lost their houses. They've lost their farmsteads. They lost a lot of animals. A lot of these folks are expecting that they're not going to be able to plant this year because by the time the floodwaters recede, it'll just be too late.
You know, I think about this and the fact that, you know, Vlad, if somebody said to us, listen, for the next 6 or 7 months, 8 months, there's no income coming in. I mean, they're looking forward to not getting paid for maybe a year, maybe more. I mean, how do farmers cope? What are some of the farmers telling you about their plans for the future?
Well, there are a lot of different things that need to be done. I mean, farmers are kind of a unique breed. I spent most of my life as a farmer in North Dakota and raised cattle and calves, and so I kind of understand this business. You're an independent lot. We take care of ourselves. We plan a year or two or five or ten down the road. We don't get a monthly paycheck. Most of us end up getting an annual paycheck. It's when you sell your crops or when you sell your livestock at the end of the year, that's when you get paid. So it takes a little while for some of this to play out. But what happens immediately is this is the time of the year when farmers are most cash flow stressed. Their crop came in last year. They are in the middle of incurring a lot of expenses. If they're a cattle producer or other livestock producer, they've got a lot of baby calves being born right now. And so that's really stressful for those animals. A lot of them lost. I mean, one of the things that happens when you lose animals in this sort of an environment is you may lose the calves to flooding or you lose the mama cows to flooding, but you hardly ever lose the same pair. So you have a baby calf that's died, and the mother for that calf now doesn't have a calf, but then another mother is dead, and you can't just put those remaining pairs together. You're going to have extended diseases. You know, just like we get sick if we're out in this sort of an environment, cattle, All kinds of livestock are going to get sick as a result of these temperature changes, standing in water, and that illness is going to be something that's going to carry with them for a long time. So there's a lot of services that need to be provided, mental health services, mediation services. Folks need help talking to lenders, getting their affairs in order. Everything is sort of upside down right now for a lot of these folks. They don't have a house to live in. There's just an enormous amount of stress. What's good about the community is people do tend to come together and help one another, and we're hoping that that's what's going to save us.
Hey, Mr. Johnson, you point out that farmers do come together and help each other out. I'd also like to think that we as Americans would want to do the same thing for folks in that region and that part of the country who are suffering. And I'm thinking the reason I think about that is because if you live on the East Coast and the West Coast, down south, you may not realize as you look at these devastating pictures and you say to yourself, wow, that's terrible, and then you go on with your life, that the produce and the livestock and the things that you're growing there in the Midwest will affect what happens to us, for example, here in New York City. And that could drive prices up, and you know that could make life very difficult for people just beyond the part of the country that we're talking about. So how does the loss of produce and livestock from this region impact the rest of the country?
Well, there will be a modest impact, more than likely. $1 billion of loss is a lot of loss for the ag industry to suffer through. But in terms of our food supply, we produce more food in this country than what we need. So folks are still going to get – they're going to be able to go to the grocery store and they're going to be able to buy their groceries. What the challenge that happens here is it's an income story as much as it is a loss of food, because – we produce a lot of food, and we've got a surplus of food that's been produced in this country. But if folks don't have money, they can't buy food. And the real tragedy is a lot of these farmers and ranchers that are losing their livelihoods, these are the folks that put food on our table, and they don't have enough money to buy food for their own family. So it really is a case where we do all need to pull together as Americans, as you indicated.
Yeah, Roger, you really have done an excellent job describing the hardship that many of these farmers are going to endure. You mentioned mental health, and one of our correspondents who's been working down there talked about the fact that there has been a rising rate in suicides among farmers because of some of the pressures and challenges that you highlighted earlier on before Mother Nature wreaked havoc.
Yeah, well, that's very true. Farming is a stressful business, and when you have we've had 5 years in a row of ever-declining net farm income, of prices that got lower and lower, in large part because we're simply producing too much. A little bit too much of production on the market drives the market very low, the price that farmers receive for what they sell. A little bit of shortage drives the market very high. The U.S. used to have farm programs that incented farmers to moderate that production so you could keep prices in more of a sweet spot, if you will. Those tools have largely been done away with under farm policy, and so now we're likely to continue to see these wilder swings. And with these wilder swings, you're likely to see longer periods of time with very low prices.
All right. Hold on one moment. Ooh, that's a lot. All right, you heard it. There you have it from a farmer himself, and that's CVS. I'm sorry for the interruption and the two things going at the same time, but wow. That's all you can say is wow. And if you look at some of the pictures, it is amazing. I have never seen anything like that. The whole city gone. They're just covered in water. I don't know how they're going to get that water to recede back or do whatever. It's just amazing. I mean, all you can see is rooftops, you know, to big barns and silos that held grain and stuff in. That's all you can see from the air was just rooftops. Some people took a picture from the air, video footage from the air. All they saw was rooftops. It's unbelievable. But y'all said it was coming. He said this was coming. Unbelievable. Anybody have any comments or anything on that? I still would advise to go to the store and make sure you have everything you need, because like you said, those animals, they carry diseases, and they're going to get sick. And I would hate to think that they would put that meat on the market. I really would. But, I mean, hey, you just got, oh, my goodness, Lord have mercy. It's just unbelievable the things that is happening right now before our eyes. Anybody have anything else they want to report? That all those animals are just gone. You should have seen how they was just all washed up on the ground. It's like, geez. Sister Couture, we want to thank you for bringing that to our attention. And like she said yesterday, it's time to start really getting some things together and making sure we have all the things that we need to store up as much as we can so that we'll have the things that we need for our families and we won't be the ones running to the grocery store, because it's going to get worse. It's not going to get no better. The Most High said it's not going to get no better. It's going to get worse. You know, and as much as he said, Jacob shall be saved out of it, and I believe that with my whole heart, but you just think about it. Many people have just been devastated, you know, not to be able to go back home. Your livelihood is over. There's no more money coming in. The things that you were able to use for money is gone. You just don't have anything. And he said before then the farmers was committing suicide. Farmers committed suicide because they just didn't see any way out. And now they really are distressed. Anytime you got to offer mental health services to be able to talk them through that, that's some serious stuff. I mean, that is really, really serious. You know, but nevertheless, these are the things that the Most High said was going to happen. These are the things that he told us to look out for, you know, and Jacob shall be saved out of it. So, you know, he's unctioning us to do the best that we can and make sure that we have everything there that we need. Again, let me make this announcement. If you all have registered for the 2019 Day of Repentance, we sent you an email from the Yehuda Project. Check your email because there's some information that we need in order to move forward in securing hotel accommodations and event accommodations. So we need those questions answered. And, you know, you can just put the answer at the end of the question and email it back to us, you know, and do it that way. You can copy and paste it and put it in the reply of the email and answer it and send it back to us, you know, but we need that information. You know, so that we don't know what to do to move forward, because we all got to come together and pray. Everybody that's on that list, and so far with people that we have listed plus family members, we have almost, I think, 80 people. So that's really, really good. You know, and we're continuing. You know, we're continuing to send information out. We're continuing to email different people. We're continuing to do those things because we have to be able to let the people know that it's time to come together and pray. It's time to come together and apologize. It's time to come together and say, hey, we're sorry. We messed up. We want another opportunity to be able to go into the land and to be delivered and forgive us for the things not only that we did, but what our ancestors have done. You know, forgive us for those things. You know. So those are the most important things, you know, that we can really do at this point. Because, like I said, it's not going to get no better. It's really not. I mean, you know, like I was listening to somebody say, you know, that men's hearts are really going to fail them for what they're going to see. You know, and one of the guys said, can you imagine coming out of your house and there's a face sticking out of the sky and it's just looking around? Can you imagine looking up in the air and seeing people walking around in the clouds? And when you scream, they look back at you and keep doing what they're doing. He said, can you imagine seeing that kind of stuff? He said, men's hearts are literally going to fail them for what their eyes are going to see. And I was like, I can't even begin to imagine, you know, because all we've ever seen in the sky is clouds and airplanes. And maybe blimps or whatever we used to call them, flying across there, but to actually see people walking in and out of the clouds, that's a lot. But this is where we're headed. We're getting ready to be exposed to the supernatural in a way where it's like, ready or not, here we come. And it's best for us to get in front of this thing so we can know, so the Most High can help us to get through it. because this is really some serious stuff. And like I said, it's not going to get no better. You know, he said it was going to be famine. He told you that in the New Testament, that it was going to be wars and rumors of wars. It was going to be famine. It was going to be all kind of stuff going on at the same time. Like you said, as in the days of Noah. Crucial. You know, but more nevertheless, in the spite of it all, we have to continue to trust the Most High and do what he tells us to do. And he told us to gather ourselves. Gather ourselves together, O nation, not desired. Because he's getting ready to come and get his people. You know, but at the same time, you know, these kind of things we have to stay abreast of. We have to know about flooding. We have to know about all these things so we know how to protect ourselves. And like I said, when I told my mom, she was like, well, how come it's not on the regular news? I said, it's a whole lot of stuff you're not going to see on the regular news. A whole lot. You know, we just have to be careful and do whatever the best we can do in a situation where we are. You know, so it's getting ready to get real interesting here. You know, and I would advise everybody to get together and decide to come up to the prayer, because this is what we need. We need to come together and pray. This is the last time that we'll have an opportunity to do this. The last time. You know, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the Most High showing up. I'm looking forward to him coming to our rescue. I am, because he said he would. And I have to believe that. No matter what, I have to believe that this is what he's going to do. You know, all praises to the Most High God. It's just something that's normal and natural, and we have to be ready for it, because this is going to be something that is going to affect us all. You know, and the prices are going to go up. You know, so I just wanted to, I want to say this. I think the class was very good. I'll be putting that up today before I go to bed tonight. I'll make sure that that gets up there so we can get the people who are listening and be able to understand it. And let me tell you what happened to me yesterday. After class, I had a lady call me. And she says, I've been listening to your class, and I was trying to say something, but I don't know whether they couldn't hear me or everybody was so excited about saying something. She says, but, she said, when the baby starts out to develop, it starts out as a female. She said, in the womb, it starts as a female. She said, and then she called it some sort of duct membrane or something like that, that if the ovum detects the Y chromosome, then that membrane or whatever it does, it folds down and it becomes male, basically. She said, but everybody starts out female. And I asked her, I said, well, are you a professional? She said, I'm a pediatrician. So, like I told you, we have a lot of people on this call from all walks of life. You know, I think that the classes are getting better and better and better, even at the topics, because we cover things that most people don't. We talk about things that most people don't even talk about. You know, because we've already come to the fact that we Israel. You know, and I don't knock none of the groups for putting that out there, that information out there, because it's needed. People need to know what happened and where we came from. But once we establish that, let's move on and get to know our God. Let's move on and get to know why we're in the condition that we're in. That's my motto. Let's keep it moving so we know what we did to get in this condition, how we need to get out of it, and what we need to do to make that happen, and get to know him. Because I'm going to tell you something, from these Bible classes, when I was in Christianity, I was an avid Bible reader. So this isn't anything new for me. I was a studier. I was a Sunday school teacher. I did all those things. I've taught Bible class in Christianity, but not until the scales was taken off my eyes was I able to really see what this thing was all about. And it's a history book. And when you open up this book and the Most High opens up your eyes, you have all kind of opportunities coming at you from this scriptures, things that you done read over 50 times. You're like, I didn't even see that. Amazing. And you get to know who Yah is and how he treats his people. Because I've heard a lot of people, like everybody said, everybody want to be us. I've heard a lot of people who profess to be Israel say that Israel has the children of Israel have nothing to do with an ethnicity or color. This is what they are telling their people. And I just sit up, I'm like, oh, you know, what a letdown that's going to be. They said that they don't. It has nothing to do with an ethnicity or color. It's no specific group of people that are Israel. It's people who believe in the Messiah, the people who keep the high holy days. Those are the people that he's coming to get for his own. And I'm like, wow. You know, so it's a lie. Israel, get ready, because the opposition is getting ready to be great, because they've already come to the conclusion that they know who we are. They just will never admit who we are. And they're going to try to take on, they're going to try to take on that identity too. Well, that leaves us with nothing. But the one thing about the Most High, he knows his own people. He does. He knows who his own people are. And nobody's going to be able to stop that. But these people are telling me, they're telling their followers that. That there's no such thing as a specific people or a specific color or a specific ethnic group. There's no reason for that. And you just look and be like, wow, amazing, absolutely amazing. So, you know, I just, you know, as I go through and I listen to some of this stuff, you know, it's just amazing that I found out that they said a lot of people didn't know that Hitler ransacked the Vatican, and that actually he went into the archives and took all these books and things from the Roman archives in the Vatican. And then he took them to the elite, and that's where they're getting most of their storylines from about different things that have happened in the scriptures. And this is where they get extra carte blanche to a lot of information that we know nothing of. So let me say this. Anything that's out there that seems like it's far-fetched, prepare yourself, because it probably has some level of truth to it. Did I say Hitler? I meant Napoleon. I'm sorry. It was Napoleon. He said Napoleon sacked the Vatican and it took a lot of the books out of the archive. And I'm like, wow. You know, the list that they will go to, it's like, oh, my goodness. But it's there. And we have to be able to realize that that's what it is. It's amazing. It is something to see, I'm telling you. Anybody else want to share something with me? I keep finding myself talking. I don't want to talk too much. I want to be able to give somebody else the opportunity to talk and to say something, you know. But I want to find this scripture, and I want you to tell me what you think about this scripture, because this is a whole other controversy that we're going to put up. I think it's in Isaiah. Let me get it. I think it is the. Let me find it. Okay. Let me see where it is, and let me find. I don't have to do that. I can Google it. Let me see, and I'm gonna Google this phrase, and then you tell me what you think. Okay, Isaiah 53. I was a chapter off. Okay, I want you to tell me what you think about this scripture, because this is gonna cause some controversy. But I want you to tell me what you think. All right, here we go. It's the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. I'm going to read it, and I want you to think about what I'm reading, and I want you to tell me what you think about this. It says, "Who have believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Most High revealed? For he shall grow up before him a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our grief and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of Yah and afflicted." Listen what it says. It says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Most High has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Most High to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his day, and the pleasure of the Most High shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with great, with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out of his soul, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made transgression for the made intercession for the transgressor. Now, who do you think that is? Somebody tell me who you think that is. Anybody push one? Who do you think that is? Oh, they pushing. Here we go. Somebody tell me. Can I name no more than one person? Who do you think that is? Hold on. Let me get you my. All right. Area code 928. Who is that?
Isn't that Yahawashah?
Okay. You say Yahawashah. I hold that thought. I'm going down the line. Area code 903. Who is that? Area code 903?
Yes, ma'am. Yahawashai.
All right, you say Yahawashai. Okay, let me go down the list. Area code 614, who do you say that is?
That's the word that became flesh that we call Yahushua.
All right, hold on. All right, area code 540, who do you say that is?
Yeshua, without a doubt.
All right, hold on. Oh, without a doubt, I like a confident person, without a doubt. Okay, I'm going to read a scripture to you, and I want you to tell me what that means. You ready? Verse 10, and yet it pleased the Most High to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his day, and the pleasure of the Most High shall prosper in his hand. What does seed mean?
Children.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. We're going to mess with some stuff here, y'all. I'm going to read it again. Don't get upset, y'all. Just hold your horses. I know some people chopping at the bit. The man said, Yahawashah, without a doubt. He said, without a doubt, that's Yahawashah. Yet it pleased the Most High to bruise him, and he had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Most High shall prosper in his hand. So if seed means children, what does that mean?
Wow.
Don't get quiet on me now. I think you just
tell me
the
children of the spirit.
Seed is seed. It's not metaphoric.
But you got to go back to the rest of it also. It's not just only
okay.
Just that particular scripture.
Okay. What part you want me to go back to?
The whole thing.
Which one?
From one from one all the way on down.
Okay, I'll do it again. I will. Watch. I'm going to read it again. Really slow. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Most High revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. For he has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne, he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of Yah, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression, and he was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Most High has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Because he had no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Most High to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, and he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Most High shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressor. Back to number 10.
That's him. That's Yahshua.
That's Yahshua, without a doubt, right?
Yes, ma'am.
There's no way to go around that. That's the Most High. That's Yahshua, Yahawashah, Yahshua, without a doubt. So if that's the case, when the scripture says he shall see his seed, what does seed mean? According to our study, what does seed mean?
Well, we know that it's a man, when a man and a woman, they get together and they have a baby. But
so
in this case, I think this is much. Right, it means children, but this is much more though.
I would say so. Yeah. I'm just throwing it out there, because, like I said, sometimes there's little nuggets in the scripture that we read over that we really don't pay attention to, and some people explain it, and those people who don't believe in the Messiah, they use the scripture to say he didn't have no seed. So this can't be real, because this can't be him, because he didn't have no seed at all. Heard them say it many times. And my response to them would be, how do you know?
Ms. Jaina, isn't Yahawashah the seed that we're speaking of?
No, he said he shall see his seed. He's the person that's in the scripture. So his seed means his seed.
I believe those who believe in it.
Okay. Anybody else? Brother Yerushalayim, you got quiet on me up there.
Yes, I did, because I'm sitting here pondering right now.
I'm just asking.
Because I agree with the brother. I agree with the brother that it was Yahushua, and I'm trying to figure out the seed thing. You know, if anybody can expound on that a little bit more. I know what seed means, but I'm saying why would it, you know, relate that toward Yahushua?
Well,
so
I think relaying. Go ahead, sis. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say it's the seed that have died in Christ and have come, you know, to new life through Him. You know, as children, because you have to die to yourself. And if Yahushua is your Redeemer, your Savior, you know, then, you know, you're alive in Him. And then we're all alive in the Father as one. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's everybody's entitled to their thought. We're going to ask a question. Hold on. Area code 904. Your mic is open. You're on the air. Go ahead.
I think that when we say the term produce, we do know it's a physical seed, but I don't think that's what this is speaking to what the sister was saying. I think it is what he produced, what his death has allowed him to reclaim. Then that becomes his seed, because that sacrifice that he was in, whom he sacrificed for, becomes his seed. Not that he is the father of them, but it was his work, his sacrifice, that gave him the right, if you will, for them to be considered his seed, his production, his sacrifice, and what he produced.
Okay. All right. That's fair. I mean, I'm just asking a question because I'm getting ready to ask another question in a minute. Anybody else want to add in and jump in on this and put your two cents in here or to say something? Anybody else have anything you want to say? Because we have
one
on here we have a lot of people on here that are non-Messianic that are listening very, very closely. And you know, for the Messianic people that are on here, I'm just curious to know what you think. Go ahead, brother. What were you saying?
Well, you remember when they had taken the Israelites to the Roman Colosseum and they used them for
mm-hmm.
Those people died, correct? And their
yes.
blood was like seed. Their blood was like seed, because when they died for what they believed in, their faith. Then they caused others to rethink and to go ahead on to also to die for their faith if and when they were also captured.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be...
Okay.
There. I mean, at least that's the way that I'm looking at it. I could be totally wrong, but and I know who it is.
We know who it is. We have no question about who it is. I agree with you 100% that who it is. So I want to throw that out there, because sometimes I have to bring those type of topics, because these are the things that when you get ready, look, folks, don't hit the buttons. The button just lit up. Hold on. Area code 972, your mic is open.
Hello. I think I'm off base then, because everyone's saying it's Yahushua, but I was thinking, could this actually be talking about the descendants of the children of Israel? I don't know. I will have to read through it and kind of tease it out, but I'm thinking, I don't know.
Okay, I know that's fair. I mean, that is honestly fair. Hold on, area code 817. Your mic is open. You're on the air.
Well, I'm not real sure either, but I'm thinking it's Yeshua himself, because when you look at Luke 3, it goes through the lineage of Joseph
mm-hmm.
and his son, and at the bottom of the Luke 3:38, it says, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's a lot of
lineage. It's a lot. We'll get to that. That's one of my That right there is one of my specialties right there. Would you just, well, we'll talk about that, though. We get there. We're going to get there. Okay, area code 513, Sister Couture. Go ahead. What do you think?
Shalom, family. You know, I'm not Messianic, and I don't believe that it's talking about Yahushua. I think everybody has their own, they have the right to their own belief. But Yah said no man could die for your sins. But yet, in that paragraph, it does. Huh?
Who is it? Who do you think it
is? I'm learning. As I go along, I'm a Torah scholar, you know. I'm learning as I go along. You know, it's the more enlightened Torah believers out there, and I don't want this to get into an argument, but I can honestly tell you, you know, I don't believe it's him, because y'all said no man could die for your sins. But like I say, I'm learning.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, like I said, this is the beautiful part about the nation of Yehuda, because we got everybody on here. And you know what? When I first started doing this, they said, Yaina, this can't be done. You're not going to be able to do that. There's no way you're going to have Messianic and non-Messianic together on the line together. I did not bring this up for any of the non-Messianics to feel threatened in any way. I just asked the question because I want to know who that the Messianics think this is. Now, my question to you, the next question would be, would it be possible for him to have children?
I think it is. The rumors that he was married to Mary Magdalene.
Well, we're going to get to that later on. But, I mean, I'm just saying, would it be possible for him to have had children? I'm going somewhere with this because I'm tell you why. I'm bringing this up.
Anything is possible, but he did not have children according to Scripture. There's nothing that tells us that he had children, that he was married. So we could say those things. People say anything, but there's nothing that corroborates.
I believe he was a black woman, and I believe he did have children.
Hold on, everybody, take a breath. Because guess what? We're going to let everybody get their point out. Please try not to interrupt anybody, because like I told you, we have Messianics on this line and non-Messianics on this line. So we want to respect everybody and let everybody say something. So let's not interrupt anybody while they're talking, because I want us to be able to show the world that we can get along with each other and we can have a conversation. It's just a conversation. That's all it is. I just want to know what your thoughts are. That's all I want to know. That's it. It's no right or wrong answer. It's no left or right answer. I just want to know what you feel about it. That's all. So I think Sister Couture was saying something. What were you saying?
Well, what I was saying was, I know it's more to that New Testament than me, because at one point it said he didn't say anything when he went to the cross, and then another book it said that he spoke back. And I do believe, I can't see a black man being at me, not with the power of Yah behind. And I just think it's more to it. And I don't want people to think that he was like gay, didn't like women, or anything like that. I believe he did marry and he did have children. I can't prove it, but you know, I just like I say, it's more to that than me to ask.
Okay. All right. Now, who else was saying something to? I think it was area code 972. What were you saying? Sister, you there? Maybe you must be. Go ahead. What were you saying? I'm sorry.
For me, there's only one person that was wounded for our transgressions, and it was said that he was not someone that you will look upon and desire. And when he came, you was here about his father's business, not about his own. And he received instruction daily from his Father, our Heavenly Father, to proceed for each and every day. So for me personally, the marriage part is out, because when we have a spouse, our spouse becomes first, and many times we don't have the time to devote like we would when we didn't have a spouse. So okay. As far as I'm concerned, no marriage. The children are those of us who accept him, believe in him, have faith, obey. That's my belief.
Okay. All right. Somebody else? Anybody sister, else want to add to it?
Yes, sister. Can I read something? It's John 12:24.
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." So Yahushua was the original seed. So he died, and because of him, we are the fruit that he bore. That's John 12:24.
Okay.
Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die.
Yeah. I mean, that's that. I'm just asking questions. I'm just asking questions, that's all. Anybody else?
Well, I don't have anything new to say apart from the fact that I think sometimes we can become very carnal in how we look at things. We have to understand that when the Messiah walked this earth, he came here with a purpose and a mandate from the Most High. He was not just a flesh-driven man. And if you walk with him, it's in our natural state. I don't know about anybody else, but there's been periods of time where you are just laser target on purpose, and nothing around you ceases to matter apart from that purpose that the Most High has given you. And there's no fleshy thing going on and all that other stuff. That's just very carnal. And I think that we are degrading him if we should put him at that level. That's just my personal opinion.
And guess what? You're entitled to that. Hold on. Let me get this open. Brother Donia, what did you have to say?
I got a question. And maybe I hope I'm on the topic, man, but where does it read that I was shy, had a wife and sired children? See, in the Old Testament, it gives good reference as to when he sired children, when, you know, and in order to have a wife, you have to cohabitate with him. Did that happen?
Right. I'm sorry, did you say, did that happen?
Yeah, did that happen? Did Yahushua marry or have a wife cohabitating with any woman?
Well, let me say this. Let me say this in all fairness. Hold on. Everybody's answering without... Hold on a moment. Just give me a moment. Okay? There are other books. And let me say something to you. That's why I tell everybody to be very cautious as to what you read. Because when you start to introduce other books, and somebody's making a lot of noise, I'm going to have to put your phone on mute. I hear pots and pans clinging. I don't know who that is, but I'm going to have to mute your phone. There are other books that are out there that are part of the Dead Sea Scrolls that make suggestion that this has happened. Now, let me tell you why I say this and why I brought this up. Because as I was listening to the people that I told you I was listening to, and they were trying to justify the bloodline, one of the things that came up was that when Napoleon sacked the Vatican, he was able to go into the archive and take a lot of books out of the archive, and he distributed those books among the elite. And in some of those books, it was suggested that he had children. And that from those suggestions, they have put their bloodline together to make themselves be a part of the descendants of his children.
Now, when I
and
say
there's no
that,
basis.
Hold on, sis, hold on a moment. Just give me a moment to get it out. When I say be very careful when introducing other books with the stuff that fills in the blank, you have to be very careful with other books that fills in the blanks, because the same people will take those books and fill in the rest of the stuff that's missing as well. So I just asked the question from Isaiah 53, because this comes up a lot, and I've heard a lot of different answers. Right or wrong, I'm like everybody else. I'm you know, whatever the scripture says is what the scripture says, but there are books out there that says that he had a relationship with her. Let me finish. The fact of that, I'm bringing this up for a reason, because I want to have every base covered as we move forward to do what we have to do. They say they're the reason why she was the first one at the tomb when he rose. They said there was a reason. I'm telling you what this woman, I was listening to this stuff. There was a reason why she was with him doing his ministry, and there was a reason why they were always together. Now, there's nothing in the Bible that states that. Nothing that states that she was anything to him. There's nowhere in the scriptures that say that. But when you introduce outside books, there's stuff in there that says they were.
And that's why you have to evaluate the book. First of all, where did it come from? You can't just say, oh, well, someone says this, and I'm just going to hold to it without doing any research, without vetting the books in any kind of way, because we know that people can say all kind of books. You have to see whether or not it lines up with the scriptures that we do have, that even though they've been canonized, we know who did that. But even with that being said, there's a lot of work that has to go into validating the scripture or into books. So we wouldn't just pick something up. I listen to a lot of stuff. I read a lot of stuff. But I don't digest it and say, oh, that's it, and that's filling in a blank, without actually going and doing the work. So I think that is the greater risk, to just say, oh, well, someone made a claim. Not only was Mary there, but many other people were always there. And if you and a person who seems to get the most out of a situation, they have a level of commitment because of what has been done for them. That doesn't mean that it was romantic in any way, especially when nothing suggests that it was.
And make sure that you say at the end, in your opinion.
Okay, let me go a step further here.
Hold on, let me finish, Brother Donat. Only because
okay.
I'm saying this because of this. There's no way to vet any of the books that we read and validate any of them. Unless you take them to the scriptures.
Well,
because
I
this
can't.
Book is valid.
I can't.
Hold on a minute. Take a deep breath. Because there's some things in the book of Joshua that really don't add up. And even though Joshua is mentioned in the scriptures, it doesn't add up. But we read them, and throughout this Bible class, people have brought those things into the Bible class and used them as justifiable facts. And there's no way we can verify any of those books and say, yes, this is validated, no, this is not validated, except that Bible. And that's all I'm saying is, when you start bringing in other books, you cannot be a matter of fact about any of them. You can't.
No, what I'm saying is what you are saying. What I'm saying is anyone, if there's a book that I subscribe to wholeheartedly, I'll tell you why, how, and everything else that I know because I've researched it, the book. Otherwise, it might just be something that's interesting. But I don't take it and say that it is scriptural. I don't take it and say that it's answering a question for me. It may raise some questions. It might present something that's plausible. But if I don't understand that book, I'm definitely not going to take it and say, oh, well, this is what happened. And I know nothing about it, but to say some third, fourth, sixth party says something about this thing that happened somehow in this book, that's what I'm saying I think is very dangerous. So I will hope nobody is doing that.
Well, we all do it. Everybody has done it. Because even with all the research you can do, you don't know where the stuff came from. You don't know where it came from.
That's true. But I don't think it's it.
I'm not saying that you do. I'm just saying nobody knows where this stuff came from. So when we start adding other books, we just got to be careful. Go ahead, Brother Donovan.
Okay. let me ask a question, T. We know that the Old Testament was ordained by the Almighty. We know that. How do we know that? It's because it was revelized to Moshe, and Moshe wrote it down. From, you know, as far as I know, he might have had a scribe. You understand? Now, my question is, has any of those other books been ordained by the Almighty? Which one of those books have been?
We believe all of them have been ordained by the Almighty.
But
because guess what? It tells the story of what's going to happen, why he came, what he said, who he said it to. And we believe that just like we believe Moshe got the information from God. That's not the issue. We're not trying to validate or disvalidate the New Testament. I asked the question whether or not you believe that he had a seed. That's all I ask.
Okay, what I'm trying to make is that when you say something, you have to validate it. It has to reference something. It has to, so when we're talking about his seed, you understand, and other books, you talk about other books, which you can't say they got other books that says something without bringing those other books into play. When you say, because you got to have something that's going to validate what you're talking about.
Absolutely. And guess what? When they bring in, I can bring in a whole lot of different books that say that there was more to their relationship than what they say. Now, whether or not I believe that or not, I have no issue with that at all whatsoever. I'm in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, it says, he shall see his seed. And seed means children. Now, some people believe it's a spiritual seed. Some people believe it's a natural seed. I just asked the question because we have to have conversation about things. And that was it.
When they talk about in Isaiah 53, could they possibly be talking about David's seed? Because they're talking about, you understand, the shoot of David going to be, Jesse's going to come back on, and reign. You understand? So, from my perspective, and reading that book from 1972 till today, you understand, I haven't lost my perspective on it. It's talking about Hebrew Israelites, you understand, and the conquests and the things that we went through, you understand. So it's not talking about, I don't want to get into no tete-a-tete back and forth, you understand.
Right, absolutely.
But I'm just saying, you understand, it talks about, that could it possibly be that they're talking about David and his seed?
No, it's not. It's because David wasn't, and we don't want to get into that because that's going to take us down a whole other bunny trail. But no, we don't believe that that's David and his seed. We believe that that's Yahawashi. And it is it's a very controversial topic because when I used to sit in on debates and different things like that, this is one of the scriptures that used to come up all the time. And they would say, he shall see his seed. And the first thing that the brothers were saying, he don't have no seed, so there's no way for him to see his seed because he had no children. And because we live in this religious society, everybody has their own idea as to what this is supposed to mean. And I just wanted to know what your thoughts were. That's all. I'm just opening up conversation for those who believe that this is Yahawashi. For the non-Messianic, you guys don't really have to comment if you don't want to, because I know you guys don't believe in the Messiah. But this particular scripture, we believe, identifies as the Messiah.
Well, one thing that I want to say here is that when you say that he got a seed, where is that written at? You say that there's other books. So when you say that, then you got to be ready to bring forth those that paragraph, or something that's going to verify what you're saying. You understand? You can't
I just asked a question, and they said that there was no way that he could be married, and there was no way he could have any children, and there was no way that he had a seed. I'm not going to introduce the book, but I will tell you this: they are in the Dead Sea Scrolls. that they have brought out different books that say that. But if that's no different than the books that are brought into the Apocrypha. It's no different. Because even though the Apocrypha was in the Bible at some point, we don't know whether those things say what they say or what they should say. But we use them because they validate what we believe. So all I'm saying is that when you bring other books into it, which I like to say in the scriptures, because this is the best place for us to be, then we can omit a whole lot of other things and keep it strictly like it is. But if you bring in one, be ready to bring them all in. That's all I'm saying. And just like being in the court of law, you can't submit an exhibit and say, okay, this is our exhibit, this is exhibit A, and this is our proof that this happened. And then when I turn around and bring in an exhibit, you say, well, no, that can't be right because, Father. No, if you bring in one in, you got to let it all come in. And you're going to have to be able to decipher which is which.
Well,
because
you
these people are going to come. I'm talking to the Messianics right now. When these people are going to come on the scene and they're going to need an answer. Now, I don't mean no disrespect you, brothers, don't at all whatsoever. We believe this is the Messiah. So if I say, okay, bring in the book of Mary Magdalene, well, she has a book. Or you can say, bring in the book of Thomas. Well, Thomas has a gospel. Or bring in the gospel of Nathaniel. He has a gospel that was found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. And some of this stuff in there makes reference to him and her. So when you start bringing in one, whether it's the book of Jasher, whether it's the book of Sophia, whether it's the book of whatever, whether it's Ecclesiastica, whatever you bring in, if you can submit those, you have to let the other ones come in too. That's all I'm saying. That's just reality. That's real. And it can be very controversial because of what we believe. Hold on, let me bring this in. Sister Lavinia, shalom, shalom. Your mic is open. You're on the air.
Shalom, shalom, sis. Shalom, shalom, everybody. Weighing on in on the conversation. If that were possible, of what you're saying is there is a seat. Are we speaking of three different seats? Is that what you're saying?
What's the question
again?
Yeah,
I was shy. The seat of David and the seat of the other seat. Where do we go with this? I mean,
opening up conversation. We just talking. That's all. I just brought the topic up to get conversation going.
But okay, and how does the seed of Yahawashah fit with the seed of David?
To fit with what today?
How do they coincide? I mean, how, why? They are not separate. Are they separate? Are you saying?
I'm not saying anything one way or the other. I just brought up Isaiah chapter 53, where the scripture says, he shall see his seed. And I asked them what seed meant and to see what everybody's opinion was on what seed meant. Some people say it's a spiritual seed. Some people say it's a natural seed. And from there, the conversation spun. So what do you think? What's your opinion?
It means offspring to me. But I know that there are some things that I don't have answers to, and I know that there are things that the Most High has to reveal to me. And I know that there are things in this Bible that have been added and taken away. And I know that from a standpoint of the Gentiles, that if there is something more powerful in this book, more than what we can see, then they wouldn't put it in there because they will reveal so much more than what we can even imagine. But me and my mindset right now, I know that that does mean offspring. I don't know how I'm incorporated into that. I don't know how David Seed incorporated into that. I mean, I know that, you know, who we are as a people and as a nation, but the power of that, I have not, it has not resonated to me fully because I'm in a fallen state at this moment.
And if I could add one thing, if we're trying to say that the Messiah has a physical seed, he was after Jacob, the father of Israel. So
right.
To the point that was being said, what's the point? That would be, that makes no sense because it's the children of Israel, the 12 tribes.
Right.
That would just, and I'm not saying that that's why I don't accept it. To me, it's foolishness because I don't believe that it's a physical seed. I believe that that, as I said, is what he produced, that sacrifice. But the promise is to the children of Israel, not the Messiah.
Right, because guess what? He was also an Israelite from the tribe of Yehuda. So it wouldn't change the status in any way.
Are we sure that the Messiah had no genealogy, from what I understand. That's what I understand. I don't know that to be no
exactly.
fact.
Exactly. I don't believe he does.
Okay, well, I'm just asking a question. I just put the question out there to see the response of the people according to what the Word says. And that's what the Word says. And some people believe he has seed. Some people don't believe he has seed. Some people believe it was this way. Another person believes it was that way. I'm bringing it to the table because these are some of the questions that will come up. They're going to come up. I've seen them come up. And I've watched them debate. And I've heard all of the stories and whatever. And I'm just saying that there is evidentiary proof or evidentiary writing that alludes to this, just like there is evidentiary proof that alludes to the other. So I'm just saying these are the things that will come up as you begin to grow, because like one of the sisters said, you're teaching teachers, or there are teachers on this line that are teaching other people. And as you begin to go out and teach, or you all may already be teaching, these are some of the things that are going to be able to come up. And when we pull out the Apocrypha and open up the Apocrypha for evidentiary proof that matches up with the scriptures, they're going to pull out their books for evidentiary proof to match up with this scripture. And it's going, and at the end of the day, either you go, it's just like anything else, either you accept it or you don't. I mean, it's simple as that. And guess what? I believe in the Apocrypha to a certain point. There are some things that I have found that there are some discrepancies in it. And I'll bring those up as we go through, as we begin to teach and we bring up certain things. I found a few discrepancies in it, but for the most part, they say this was a part of the King James 1611 Bible. And from the onset, I read it with some skepticism. I read it with some skepticism. Only because, not saying that those books were not in there, I'm just not sure if all the information that's in there was really there. But at the same time, I've used it too as a reference. So I can't say yay or nay. But like I said, when we pull out the Apocrypha to say, hey, this is what it is, they're going to pull out books to say, okay, well, this says this. And it wasn't canonized either. So if this ain't a part of the Bible and this says this, how can you say that it's not true?
That's why you have to ask for the Ruach. That's why you must ask for the Ruach before you read, whether it's the Bible, whether it's the Apocrypha, or any other book that pertains to the Scriptures. Because if you don't, you will be led blind. You need to ask for the Ruach daily.
Right. And everybody's passionate about it. I mean, you know, it is, I have just learned, And I've learned this from experience, that, you know, sometimes it just ain't the way I think it is. It just ain't the way I think it is. And you know what I'm saying? No matter how passionate I sound and no matter how much I feel like this is the appropriate way, sometimes it just ain't the way I think it is. And like the sister said, so at some point, y'all is going to be able to open up our understanding where we can see, because I heard some of the brothers say that a giant could give birth with a natural woman and have sex with a natural woman. These some of the evil leaders, some of the evil can't. No way that a giant could sleep with a woman and have a baby. An angel could have slept with a woman and had a baby. He would have busted her wide open. So, I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that are out there that we believe that we have to be able to say, this is what the scripture says and this is what I stand on.
Well, you know what's going to happen? The Almighty said he's going to write the laws, the statutes, the commandments, and all what we know in our inward parts. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So what we have to do is try to wait on that. So what we're doing here, you understand, we're just beating up our gum.
Right, we just talk. It's a talk show. We just talking. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes the topics get controversial, and it's good to have that interaction and to be able to talk this through. Brother, you rock some, you still ain't saying nothing. You've been quiet the whole time.
I'm just listening, and I'm researching. Because, see, I've heard a lot of things that everybody's saying. You know, I've heard that. You know, that he did have a tie by Mary Magdalene, and I've heard all that. And I'm just trying to put it all together now.
I mean, because if you do your research, I mean, I've researched it too. I've researched it very, very well. If you do your research, there's a lot of evidence out there that says that they did. It's a whole lot of stuff out there that say that they did. There's a whole town out there that's dedicated to her that said after the crucifixion, that's where she went. A whole town.
But it's also that when they get into that, talking about that, I think one of the reasons why I shied away from it is because that was how the Knight Templars and some of these Europeans started tying into our lineage by using that as a, that's how they're trying to do that. You know, that's why I kind of shied away from it, because that's an excuse for them to get in where they fit in, trying to get in, you know what I mean?
And that's why I said that's what the other group was saying, that they got access to those books when Napoleon tore down the Vatican and raided the Vatican and was able to go in there and get those books and bring those books out. They were able to rewrite the story to bring them in with this bloodline and with this lineage. And this is an age of, like I said, this ain't that new, because it ain't nothing new under the sun. And if you do your research, there's a whole lot of research out there that says that this was true. It's a lot. But like he said, they twisted to make it seem where, I think it was the Merovingian tribe and the Merovingian kings and all that stuff, that this child was sired into the Merovingian kings, and this is how their bloodline was able to come about, and this is who they are, and blah, blah, blah. It's a lot of stuff out there when you go to research it. So I'm just putting it out there as a topic so that we can discuss it. I mean, you know, whether we know for sure and it was right or wrong, we don't know. We just don't.
Right.
We don't know everything that he did. Second.
I said there's a difference between research and claims.
Well, I mean, you know, like I said, when you do your research about the different things that have happened to us, and we come across the Atlantic Ocean and the Judah land and all that, it's there. That's there. That's a physical place that you can actually touch. And the same thing with her. When you start talking about her, there's a physical place that you can actually touch. That they have stories that go back for years and years and years of the things. I've done extensive research because I didn't want to miss out on anything and not know anything. All I'm saying is it's out there. It's just like this man told me. We were talking one day, and he was one of the clerks at the United Dairy Farm, and we was talking, and he said something about Santa Claus. He was like, I said, he's not real. He said, how do you know? I said, because I know he's not real. He said, he's just as real as the Messiah. I said, no, he's not. He said, how do you know? Have you seen him? And it made me come to the terms that everybody believes what they choose to believe. And if it's real to them, it's real to them.
And that is the problem.
Even though, I mean, it just that's what it is, Brother Tony. Everybody has a right to believe what they want to believe, and it leaves open to this kind of stuff. But like I said, when it comes to that, there's a lot of research out there. It is.
Yeah.
It really is.
Well, I
want
to say, I wanted to say that the Father sent the truth. Everything, you know, came from him. And there is no man or woman that can stop his truth. They can try to twist it and turn it, but the truth is always going to come forth because that's what he wants. And that's why we're on his line, because the truth has been revealed to us. We know who we are because he wanted us to know who we are.
Mm-hmm.
So
they can't stop it.
And Yahushua is not some man. He was born of a virgin. He did not have an earthly father. So he's not like David. He's so much greater than David. So you can't even compare him to David. You keep talking about David, David. Yahushua said, my sheep know my voice. Like that's a spiritual thing. So
okay, well let me ask you this question. And I agree with you 100% everything you just said. But if he's higher than David and he didn't have a spiritual father, a natural father, then how can he be from the lineage of David?
Absolutely.
Because he came through Mary.
Okay, but
he has an earthly mother, would you say?
No, the lineage comes through the father. The lineage comes through the father. So if he's greater than David, because he asked this question in the New Testament. He asked this question. He said, if the Son of Man is the Son of God, then how can he be from the seed of David? He asked the question.
Because he's the Father's seed. The Holy Spirit impregnated Mary. And so you
but
have
to
set David aside.
David was given the
blessing. I'm sorry to interrupt. The Most High told David that his seed would sit on that throne forever.
Right. But I'm asking you this question, though. If King David was an earthly man, and we know he was, and he had children that he inspired with his wives, right? And then the Messiah came through the womb of the woman with no earthly father at all whatsoever, because Yah was his father, or the Holy Spirit impregnated him according to the scripture. How is he from the lineage of David? Because the lineage has to come through the man.
Absolutely.
Where Luke 3, and that's where the Luke 3, chapter 3.
But he's the lion of the live. He's the lion of the tribe of Yehuda. So he is
not
one of us. But
how?
So what, you're going to discount his lineage?
No, I'm not discounting
because of Jesse, because of Obed. What's his name? Obed?
Woo.
I'm trying to think who that was. Who was that Ruth had a baby with? Boaz.
Right, okay, but that's David's lineage. That's how David got here. There's no question about that. We got that. But if David is a physical man, I'm just asking a question. You know, if he has no father, no earthly father, and the body was prepared, as the scripture says, and he walked through the earth and she gave birth to him, then where does his lineage come in at, and how is he connected to King David? Because the lineage has to come through the father.
Well, you keep saying that the lineage has to come through the father, but that's when you're just
that's
thinking
numbers.
Earthly. You're not thinking
no,
spiritual.
But,
you have to go. You have
okay,
to go beyond
wait,
that.
But,
when it comes to talking about the Messiah that was born of a virgin,
okay,
Mary was from the tribe of Judah. David's from the tribe of Judah. Like you said, he was born into that family. When he grew up around our people. So he was
that
one of us. Never, you can't keep saying who was his earthly father.
No, I didn't
you said
say
it has
that.
Nothing
I
to do
said
with
that.
It.
I said he has,
no.
I said he has no earthly father. That's what the scripture says. That's what the scripture says. That's how he has become the Son of God. He has no earthly father. But if he's from the tribe of Yehuda, which I believe he is, then how is he connected to King David? Because Numbers chapter 1 says that the lineage has to come through the father.
Well, you know how sometimes when they're given that blessing and they switch hands and put, you know, the right hand on the youngest one, maybe it's something like that where you just got to flip it and be okay with it and understand, okay, we about to flip it. It's not going to come through that man because there's no earthly man that could produce the holy seed. So he just switched hands on it.
I'm telling you those, and he asked the same question in the scriptures. He asked the very same question. He asked the same question to the people that were standing around him, to his disciples. He asked them the same question. So there is an answer.
It's going to come through Mary.
It can't, because the lineage can't come through the mother. That's not the protocol for our nation. It has to come through the father. And that's why the Israelis are saying that they're Jewish, because they use the mother as the lineage to come through, and you can't use the mother. It has to come through the father. That's Numbers chapter 1. Has to.
But in this particular case, it didn't, and we know it didn't. So it's an exceptional case.
How do you know that? But wait, let me ask you this question. How do you know that? You don't know. It's some things you just don't know.
We do know.
No,
what do you mean we do know?
That's too supernatural that you won't know. Because if you ask the question, it has to be an answer. And we don't have the answer. That's why
this one particular case.
Because let me say this. That's why you're the only one talking, because nobody has the answer.
But it has to be the answer in this one particular case, because this child was born of a virgin. The lineage is going to have to come through that mother, because there was no man that was holy enough.
It's illegal.
If the Most High says it's going to be like that.
It's illegal, sweetheart. You can't come through the mother.
It's exceptional.
That child was exceptional.
How can you not make an exception? And this baby was born of a virgin? Is that not exceptional?
You can't make an exception and make him be a Jew from the tribe of Judah. He has to have a lineage that cannot be broken from the king, from the tribe of David, from the royal house of King David. And nobody has the answer, because ain't nobody else talking. You know how we was arguing about whether or not he had kids, and everybody was talking over themselves? When this group get quiet, it's something they're thinking about, because they don't have the answer.
What's just foolish? The pointless conversation.
Oh, no conversation is ever pointless when it comes to our kingdom. Because
the back and forth, because it's one of those topics that no one is really going to come to a solid understanding or an agreement. And so that goes back to the whole idea of we have to just rely on the scriptures. And so people are going to come from so many different places. And I'm speaking for me personally. I've already engaged in a conversation that to some degree I think is fruitless. But it was necessary for me to express what I did, because I thought it was important. But this is another conversation that I just really don't think we're going to come to an understanding, because it would be careless for us to just to put something out there and say that this is what you believe or what you understand without putting all the evidence to build the case. And that's not what this is designed to do.
Absolutely. Build the case. But even with that, I want to know the answer. So I'm going to employ everybody that's on this line. When we come back again next Sunday, not next Saturday, but next Sunday, somebody had an answer for me and tell me how is the Messiah connected to King David by lineage? And I want you to do what the brother said, do. Ask the Ruach.
That just might be the answer. Just a spiritual thing. Because we are spiritual children. I said that could be the answer. It's a spiritual thing.
Okay, well, we're going to see, sis. We are. We're going to see.
And that's a good point.
And guess what? I have enjoyed this class, as I always do this show. And like I said, when we get you to talking, you can't stop talking. I think it's a wonderful thing. You know, because I don't want to talk to myself ever when we have this show. And it is to bring out those things in you so that we can be able to discuss. Even though we may feel like it's pointless, it has no answer, it has no man, we don't know. There's nothing wrong with talking about it, because the world talks about it. And these are the kind of things that we have to be able to handle and have a conversation about. And on that note, guess what? I'm going to say to you all again that are on here that wasn't on here earlier today, check your emails. We sent you all emails, a confirmation for 2019, Day of Repentance for our hotel and our event accommodations. We need you to respond and send it back as quickly as possible so that we can get these things in order, because I look forward to meeting all of you. I want to meet everybody that's on this line, because I think that it has truly been a pleasure because guess what? Great minds have to come together, and we have to think. We have to agree. We have to disagree. This is what it's all about, so that we can bring this out so the world can hear the conversation. Everybody is listening to what we're saying, because very few people are talking about this kind of stuff. Don't forget to check your emails. We will definitely see you back here Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we're going to eat your piece of unleavened bread today, eat a piece every day until we get to Friday, and we're coming back together Friday at 8 o'clock to blow the shofar and to end the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And on that note, I'd like to say shalom, shalom to everybody, and have a wonderful rest of your day. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom.